And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
It's not about me. I'm only here for a minute. And I know that I can fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
Hello, welcome to our Laz and Powers. This is Scott Powers, joined by Mark Lazarus. We are. You're at home. I'm at home. We're back.
I'm in my little office here. You know, my daughters, they've been sharing a room for most of their lives. And just a few, like about a month ago, my older daughter said she wanted her own room, which fine, that's reasonable. She's almost 11 years old. So we moved her into the guest room, which means the guest room stuff, which is like the video game area, got moved into this little extra room we have, which isn't really a bedroom, doesn't have a closet, but it could be used as a bedroom. So now it's kind of like a playroom slash office slash video game room. And since it's become the video game room, we've kept it nice and clean, like really clean. I've been proud of the girls. I came up today to just about 3 minutes ago to sit here. I am sitting in, I believe, wet paint on my office chair I've had since I was 21 years old. There was just paint all over this desk. This new laptop I have is probably covered in it. The floor, you can barely see the floor. The lamp is overturned and on the ground. I mean, it looks like a hurricane was swept through here. And in an hour and a half, when I go pick up the girls from school, they're going to do this before they do their homework. I can tell you that.
So what happened?
I don't know. They must have been up here last night. They were playing. It's always nice when they play together. They're 3.5 years apart. Sometimes they love each other. Sometimes they hate each other. And they were playing really well. So like when they're playing together, I kind of like leave them alone. Hey, they're having fun together. That's great. That's wonderful. But I probably should have looked before I told them to go to bed.
So the you went to the All-Star game. We've won hockey game in the last 2 weeks, and we missed last week's podcast.
That's why we haven't podcasted very often since then, too. It's like, what is there
the
to
bye
say
week in the All-Star game? And did you get any sun?
Not much, because every hotel. The thing about South Florida is it's so far flung, right? Like the Panthers play in Sunrise, which is like in the middle of absolute nowhere, like 20 miles inland, and all the festivities were on the beach, which is 45 minutes away because of all the beach traffic, and all the hotels are like $500 a night. So I was staying at the Airport Marriott, which is actually very nice in Fort Lauderdale. So I did not get a lot of sun, actually, which is it was warm. It was nice. I'm not going to complain. It rained the last couple of days, but it was fine. Yeah. But no, long answer to a stupid question. No, I did not get much sun.
Today is Thursday. And within the last hour, we finally had some trade movement. Tarasenko going to the Rangers. What was? I didn't even see what the return was.
It's a conditional first round pick. It's the later of the two first round picks because the Rangers had two from the I believe the Lundqvist trade. They had a first round pick from, and I think Sammy Blais went back to St. Louis. and there's like a fourth round pick in there, but it's a modest return. It's going to be a late first round pick. Like if you're expecting the Blackhawks to get the world for guys like Kane or Taves just because they're Kane or Taves, this should be a reminder that you're not.
What was the condition? Do you know, or what?
The condition, I think, is on the. I think I read somewhere that the fourth round pick becomes a third round pick if the Rangers make the playoffs.
Okay.
And the condition is that it's going to be for the first round pick is just that it's the later of the two, worst of the two.
I got you. Okay.
It's going to be, Dallas is one of the best teams in the league, so you're looking at like a late 20s at best.
Interesting. So that probably eliminates the Rangers from the Kane conversation, I would think, right?
Not entirely. Like, they still have a little bit of room, and, the Blackhawks could, they're going to retain half the salary, and you could always get a third team involved. The Rangers do have another first round pick. It'd be interesting because, they got Tarasenko because I believe he's tight with Panarin. That's part of the appeal. So if you bring in Kane, who plays the same position as Panarin, you can't have all three of them on one line because none of them's a center.
Yeah.
So it seems to eliminate the Rangers. And Arthur Staple, our excellent Rangers writer, had said multiple times over the last month or so that the Rangers were really wary about Kane's supposed hip injury and that he might be damaged goods. And that they were looking elsewhere, and Timo Meier was an option, and Vladimir Tarasenko was an option.
And with the Islanders going after Horvat, you'd sort of assume that they're out of the mix. So there are it's slimming list of teams that these guys Kane goes to.
Yeah, the Islanders seem in like a particularly desperate mode, and Lou Lamoriello is. In his last year, and he's not worrying about the future, so he'll go for broke. They're in the second year of a new arena. They got to fill that place up, so they're not thinking about a rebuild or anything like that. In theory, they could make it work too, but they don't have a first-round pick now. Their first-round pick is protected top 12 this year, so it's potentially – it's either going to be this year they don't have one or next year they don't have one even. So, you risk a lot if you're trying to get something soon for Kane by taking a very conditional first-round pick potentially from the Islanders. Those are two big potential destinations. The Rangers were an obvious one from the start. I thought the Islanders were a real dark horse because of Kane's affinity for Matt Barzal, but the Islanders are in a tough situation right now where they have long odds to even make the playoffs. So that might not appeal to Kane either. So now you're left with, Carolina potentially because of the Max Pacioretty injury. There's not a lot of obvious destinations anymore.
Yeah. I heard Dallas day, but I don't, Dallas is kind of right up against it with the cap, and I don't know how that really works. And I messaged our Dallas writer, but he didn't respond to me the other day. So
come on, Saad.
I need to circle back.
That's all the Athletic Slack channel is right now, is beat writers asking other beat writers if they could fit this guy under the cap somehow. That's like for the next 4 weeks, that's all we're doing is, hey, so-and-so, would you be able to fit so-and-so under the cap? And then it's like, I don't know, maybe potentially if we got rid of this guy. And yeah, we're all just throwing hypotheticals around at this point.
I guess this is the challenge too. If Kane and Taves are going to take this up to the deadline or near the deadline, that it's other teams aren't sitting back and waiting. And there are, there are concerns with both players. Taves has missed some time with the flu, but overall, I think players are just, Taves doesn't, he's not being brought in to be a top six guy. So I think he's looked at differently. Kane, it's, if Kane, you're bringing Kane in, you obviously want him to play a large role, but there are concerns over, his injury issues. And, he was asked about that on Monday, and he's downplaying it, and he certainly looked good Tuesday, and he had a whole week off, and but then he also took a maintenance day, and I think he's managing his
body. Also having the worst year of his career. There's no two ways around that.
No,
that
for
doesn't
sure
help.
No and yeah, I get...
If you're a contender right now, Patrick Kane is one of the great clutch players of our time. There's no doubt about that, but Timo Meier might be a more attractive player right now.
Oh no, for sure. I don't think Every GM and everyone who I've talked to no one thinks that Kane's like over the hill or Kane's like incapable. I think a lot of them put it within the context of the Blackhawks situation and who he's been playing with. So I think that the fact that Kane doesn't necessarily need to be some, his speed isn't his greatest attribute or certainly, yeah, I mean, he's certainly had a tough year, but it feels like a lot of it's with his vision, his passing, and that you're not having him lift, kind of carry a line as much. Like, you're bringing him to be a complimentary piece to one of your other stars. And so, yeah, it feels a little bit different where I think, if Kane's game was different, I think there'd be more concerns. And I think the biggest concern is just whether he can play through the grind of the playoffs. And if you're bringing him on board and you're looking to make a cup run, can he, can he play, 20 games or whatever it takes to do that?
It's tough. You know, the NHL trade deadline tends to pick up about a week beforehand, but now you've had two of the bigger pieces, Bo Horvat and Vladimir Tarasenko, come off the board, a month ahead of time, 6 weeks ahead of time in Horvat's case. That's early. So now, you start to wonder, do Kane and Taves, do they start getting more pressure from the Hawks to make a damn decision already? Because, they're missing out. Like right now, the Blackhawks cannot trade Patrick Kane or Jonathan Taves. They do not have permission from the players, who have all the control, the no movement clauses here. And you start to wonder if fans get frustrated with them, if the team gets frustrated with them. This is an unusually early start to trade season for the NHL, which is usually takes a little bit for the catch up to get moving. And I wonder how that affects it. Because, Pierre LeBrun reported that, Pat Brisson, the agent for both Kane and Taves, something's going to happen relatively soon. Well, you know what? Things got to move here.
Yeah.
If they're going to stay, let the Blackhawks know. If they're going to go, give them time to make a proper deal. Like 7 to 10 days is kind of what Brisson told Pierre LeBrun. I'm not sure that's enough time right now.
Yeah.
And this changes the calculus there, where you might have to do this quicker. And, maybe they're staying. It's entirely possible they're staying. I think, people that assume that they're already have one foot out the door are way off base here. I genuinely think they are conflicted and still trying to make that decision. But you got to make that decision because it's affecting the Blackhawks' ability to get return.
From what I heard, the Blackhawks thought the conversation would happen around the 15th, sort of the middle of the month, and it's been pushed back a little bit further, where it was sort of around the All-Star game and things have moved. But these trades change everything. Like it has to happen sooner than later. I think it came. I still, I wrote it, yesterday. Certainly we're trying to read into everything, but everything that I sense is that he's going to ask to be traded. Like if there's something.
Boy, some of those quotes sure felt like, a guy who's on his way out, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know. I everything I sense is that this season hasn't been enjoyable. And it's funny that, playing with Jason Dickinson is probably playing, Kane's playing his best. He's got a 4-game point streak, which is the longest of the season, which was surprising when I looked into it. But
can you imagine if Patrick Kane had a true great center at any point in his career post Jonathan Taves, the numbers he might have put up? Think of who he is. Artem Anisimov and Michael Hanzus and, Brad Richards well passes. The guys that he's carried to great seasons, it's incredible.
It's challenging.
Jason Dickinson!
You need, the perfect role player center. Like, Anisimov was perfect because he did everything that those two needed. Because you usually centers are, and I actually talked to Dickinson about it today, it's like, you have to, not want the puck as much, right?
Right. Kane's like the center, but he's just doing it up the
way. Yeah, and the fact that Panarin's also needs someone who needs the puck. So I mean that line was the best line in hockey, but possibly, it was so good. And at some point, at one point I thought the Saad Taves Hossa line was one of the top lines in hockey too, and that was because only certain guys needed the puck too at certain times, right? Like there's I don't know. I feel like Anisimov was, he's obviously not Hall of Fame.
But I'm just saying, he's not like some elite playmaking center. He's just a guy who was willing
to do the dirty work. You need the right center because maybe the wrong, you bring in a star center and maybe it breaks up that chemistry too, or a way that, Kane needs the puck to.
I must have asked that question to 50,000 players over the years. Is it difficult to play with Patrick Kane because he's not like your average winger? And they all say yes. And then they go into all the reasons why. It's like, he's gone through so many line mates, so many centers over the years, and they all say the same thing. You have to adjust to playing with them. And it's true. Maybe if you put him with Matt Barzell, it's a problem. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on who that winger is or, Kane certainly came into the season expecting him and Anathisu and Domi to have success, and they've been underwhelming,
And Domi's had a good year. He just hasn't. Yeah. It's when he's with Kane, he's struggled almost.
Yeah.
He's been better without Kane.
Yeah, no, it's
and that's one of the reasons Domi wanted to come here is they told him he'd be playing with Patrick Kane. It's funny. It's just he's a tough guy to work with because he's so singular.
The lines have been really good right now, and it'll be Taves played on the third line last time he was healthy, wasn't he? It was So yeah, that's probably what he's
Dickinson, Domi, Taves, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably what he's coming back to too. So the update today was that Taves was in the gym working out and over his fluish symptoms. So it's, you know, Richardson expected him to be out both of these next two games, and which would mean that he potentially can only play three more home games before the deadline. And even now, that's I think that's asking a lot, because you have this home game on Friday, and then you have a big road trip, and it's not like these other home games are really close. Like, there's, I don't know, like, I wouldn't put it, say that there's a 100% chance the Blackhawks have another home game with Kane and Taves after Friday.
It's wild to think about, isn't it? It's entirely conceivable that they both played their last game in Chicago. And, you know, we had that beat writer roundtable with Danny Wirtz and Jamie Faulkner earlier in the week on Monday. And they said, like, it's important to them to do right by them. Like, if they decide they want to leave, they want to be able to give the fans a chance to say farewell. And just because of this, the ever-changing dynamics of a trade deadline and Kane getting Taves getting sick, like, it's entirely possible that you can't do that. That's just the nature of the business. You can't set up, you know, if they both decide to stay and that they're going to seek free agency, then you could do a big farewell at the end of April. Like, that's entirely doable, but it's really hard to plan for that at the trade deadline, because they could get traded today, they could not get traded at all. Like, we just don't know.
Put yourself in their shoes a little bit. I guess if you're looking at that, you're going to go to free agency, I don't see a reason other than having a proper farewell of why to stick around. You know, like, this could be one of your best shots of making to another Stanley Cup. Like, you get to decide where you go in a lot of ways, and you kind of you do in free agency, but then you're playing through a whole season, and there's so many different variables where you've already selected a team that who could be, you know, if Colorado really wants Taves, I think it would be hard to say no, right? Like, you know that they're going to, you know, potentially come out of the West again, and, you know, just how good that team is. And and for Kane too, just, you know, you sort of get to pick who your line mates are. And yeah, I don't know. There's just so many variables that if you don't see a future with the Blackhawks beyond this season, that I think that it'd be too tempting not to, ride it out the rest of the season with a team that has a chance to win a cup.
Well, yeah, I think if they choose to stay at the trade deadline, it's because either they want to stay forever or they just really don't know. Yeah. Because if they have any leaning toward, I think I'm done here at this summer, then you're right. It's 100. Like, why wouldn't you just leave now? You know, other than the fact that I don't want to move twice in 4 months, which is a very hockey player thing to say. But that's the only thing. Because, I mean, if they decide to not waive their no movement clauses, I think it's because they're still undecided. They don't know. And we've talked about this a bunch. And, you know, we both kind of get the sense that the team's ready to move on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the team is both prepared and maybe prefers not to have Kane and Taves next season. Like, they'd be fine with that. Now, if Taves says, I want to stay, you have to resign him, because the fan backlash would be just insane.
Yeah.
And it'd also be foolish, because he's not going to cost that much. You need to get to the cap floor. You need to sell jerseys. Like, there's no reason not to bring him back. But the team seems ready to finally move on from that era. So it's like, if they want to come back, or if they're undecided, or they're not sure, it raises a lot of interesting questions for the team to handle. Because, you know, does Kyle Davidson have the balls to say, we don't want you back next year? Because if he says that, it might make them more willing. Like, when they have their sit down, if Kyle says, frankly, we'd rather trade you than re-sign you, does that change their mind? Or do they say, screw it, I have all the power here, you don't get to tell me what to do, you have to re-sign me if I say I want to re-sign. There's no story in the world I want more than the inside story of that meeting. And I'll never get it, I guess. It's just because there's only going to be a few people in that meeting, and they're not going to say what happened.
And I wonder if Kane and Taves are in these meetings. Like, how much is it just Brisson and Davidson talking, you know? Like, I don't know how much Kane and Taves are, you know, like, how much do they actually want to talk to Davidson? Or is it just Brisson's handling this a lot themselves?
Well, I'm curious to see if Kyle Davidson is on this upcoming Eastern Canada trip. It's Winnipeg and then Toronto, or Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa. If Davidson's on that trip, they have to have that meeting at some point, right, during the week, because then you're into mid-February already, and you're both available. Nobody has anything to do. If he's not on the trip, then I think that becomes a phone call with Pat Brisson.
Yeah. Well, either way, I think it's a phone call with Brisson, unless Brisson's also traveling and somehow ends up in Canada on that trip too. And I mean, those are two of his most high profile clients. So, you know, I think that he's probably at their service throughout this whole deadline. So, and maybe Brisson shows up and it's a sit down thing, but I wonder how much of, you know, like,
I would think Kane and Taves would want to have that discussion. Because they might have questions still. They might want to say, like, well, what are you going to do this summer if we do come back or if we do stay? If you don't get Bedard, are you going to still be adding this summer? I mean, are you going to be tanking again? Like, I think
so much of that is already squared away. I think the fact that they haven't had in the contract negotiations, or I'm sure that Brisson and Davidson have had further large, like, I don't think everything was left to this minute to have like the large picture questions. Like, this is more of like, do you want to play out the season here, or do you want to be traded? I don't know. My sense is that they've already, I mean, it seems like Taves, whenever he's like, when he last spoke with you two, sort of knew that, like, he saw that the writing's on the wall, sort of, you know, something like that. And yeah, I don't know.
I still think Taves is sticking around. I don't know. Something about it, like, I can't say this. I have no, this is not inside information. This is just pure gut feeling on my part. Is Taves, who I was sure was done at the beginning of the year, I think he's sticking around. I don't know. There's something about it. I feel like he is not going to get traded. I don't know if that means he's here next year, but I don't think he's going to get traded. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I guess it depends on who, but you know, like,
I will not be surprised if he gets traded. I'm not an idiot, but I just get the sense that he is content. You know, I've written about this. We've talked about this. I don't know if he wants to go somewhere and just be a guy. Does he want to be the third line center with no letter on his sweater for the Colorado Avalanche? Does that mean anything to him? He won't even be able to wear fucking number 19, for God's sake. It's just something about it. It's really, really important to him. And I'm not saying it's not to Kane, but it's different with Taves. Yeah. His whole identity is kind of wrapped up in it.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And I guess the other part is, if Kane and Taves, if they're both traded, they're not on the same team. But there's something about the separation of the two that's, it's foreign. It'd be odd.
They're not the Sedins, and they're not best friends. Like, these are not guys that hang out a lot.
No, but it's everything they do. They're connected. Yeah,
they've had matching contracts all the way. They do like each other, even if they don't like. They're not like enemies or anything like that. But they're not. You know, they're, as you grow older, you grow apart. That's just inevitable, I think. And you know, they're not like tied at the hip. They don't need to be there with each other. But it's interesting.
And the other way, but they've also been every single contract they've done. They've always had each other. It's been every step along the way.
There's a comfort level knowing the other guy's there. I'm sure
they both have the same ads. They both have Chevy, right? Like
They do ads together. They have the same agent together. The same contracts. I am sure they've had. They kind of demur about this, but I am sure the two of them have sat down and talked to each other about how they're each feeling and what they want to do and should they do something together. And you know, they do mean a lot to each other after all these years.
Yeah. No. Yeah. They're definitely. Yeah. It's such a connection. I have no idea what's going to.
So who else? I mean, we've talked Kane and Taves to death. Sam Lafferty is a guy that when I was in Edmonton, man, everyone was talking about Sam. Hey, Sam Lafferty, what's his deal? Is he going to be available? Like, and let's face it, that's the kind of guy who gets moved at the trade deadline. Yeah. He's like an energy guy in your bottom six who can kill penalties, who's on a cheap contract. Everybody wants a Sam Lafferty. He's not a young guy. He's like 27, 28. He's not like he's like part of a rebuilding team necessarily. So you can certainly trade him.
The thing is, like, he may be more valuable at the next year's deadline. Like, it's the fact that he has another year on his contract, I think that makes him more valuable this deadline, because whoever acquires him means in a smaller sense of what, you know, a team acquired Hagel for the cost certainty and what you have as a player, and Hagel's upside is obviously larger than Lafferty's, but With Lafferty, it's what's a 1.15, and you know, if he's playing this well, then you know, like that's a cheap bottom six option who's really going to be effective. So
speed, energy, penalty killing. I mean, he's an ideal ad, cheap as hell.
I think a third rounder. You know, like
is that like if you're the Blackhawks, does that work? Does that do anything for you? A third rounder? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's Lafferty's probably not part of their future. He's you know, like they have a lot of players like them. They feel like in the pipeline. It's still, I feel like they're asset driven. So maybe third line can, you know, third round pick conditional or move up to a second if you get into a five. Hey, I don't know. I think with Lafferty, the Blackhawks also don't have to move him, you know, like,
right.
I think with Kane and Taves, they'd love to move him because those are your biggest, you know, like Domi and Athos Hughes the same way. I think Lafferty's they're in, not indifferent, but they don't, like, there's no pressure. Like, you come with us at the right package, yeah, we'll consider it. And I think McCabe's the same way too, where the Blackhawks, you know, McCabe's playing this well, then you can partner him with Krejcinski or whomever in the coming years. And you have that veteran presence. But if someone's knocking at your door and giving you something that you can't pass up, I think the Blackhawks are willing to listen on anyone. But yeah, I think Lafferty and McCabe, guys who are gonna, you know, maybe not part of your long-term future, but who can be serviceable and, you know, be respectful and, you know, be good for your young guys. I think those are the type of guys the Blackhawks are gonna be looking for anyways.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing, is I think everybody is available. Literally everybody on the roster could be had.
Yeah.
But there's not the urgency you would think from a tanking team to get rid of some of these guys. And I think that last thing you said about being good for the young guys, that's really important. Jake McCabe is the kind of guy you want in your locker room. You know, this kind of gruff veteran, you know, solid defender and team guy who everyone respects. That's a guy you want in your lineup if you've also got a Kevin Korchinski, if you've got some of these other young
defensemen. And he's playing well enough, are you? Yeah. He's second on the Blackhawks and, you know, the advanced guard, the evolving hockey stuff. And,
yeah,
like, Dickinson's, like, he leads the Blackhawks. Right now. Those are guys that are, they're solid.
They're really
players.
Solid veteran guys that are – they're not just good on the ice, they're good in the room, and that stuff matters a lot. The team culture that you're building with a young team matters a lot. And this doesn't matter that much this year, but next year is when we get the young guy phase of the rebuild, right? That's when Reichel's going to be up. That's when Korchinski's going to be up. That's when you're really going to have that next step of the rebuild, which is when all the young guys come up. And you do need some good, you know, role models in there. And the thing about a Sam Lafferty is he's not like a big speaker. He's not like a huge respected veteran. He's kind of a young guy in terms of how much hockey he's actually played in the NHL. But he embodies a lot of what Luke Richardson wants out of a hockey player, right? That always going, that high motor, that high speed play, that, you know, always going for it, attack mode on penalty kill. You need guys who can exemplify the system. And, you know, even if they're not out there hands-on teaching young guys, just seeing that's how I should have to play. That's how I get on this team. You do need players like that in your lineup in order to have success.
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, when you talk about who's going to get traded, I have no idea. Like, I don't think
it's really wild, right? Like, we really just, like, what the next 3.5 weeks here could just almost literally anything can happen.
Yeah, and certainly I think other teams become more. The fact that Tarasenko and Horvat are gone, like, it changes the market, and you know, Kane and those, you know, even Domi and the few guys that who could be guys that, you know, that you may want to find a place for. And
it's tough in some ways they get more value because there's fewer, you know, high-end, you know, forwards available on the market, but in some ways their value is lowered because there's fewer potential destinations. This is a flat cap world and it's increasingly difficult to trade high, you know, high salary players.
And especially when Kane and Taves were, like, now if they came with one team to you know, to Davidson, like, it's, you got to make this trade work. And I'm sure the other team's probably aware that they're not negotiating with other teams. So, like, it becomes a very tough.
It becomes a Claude Giroux situation where, you know, the Flyers, they didn't get what they probably deserved for Claude Giroux. That's what the Blackhawks are looking at. They're not going to get what they want out of Kane or Taves.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm sure this is something we'll be talking about for the next few weeks on the podcast. Yeah, I think so.
I thought we were going to start breaking down the second power play unit here.
What were your your takeaways from the words to Faulkner sit down?
You know what? They continue to say and do the right things. I mean, it's hard to, you know, we asked them about, I thought Danny Wirtz's response in particular to my question about what they're going to do for Pride Night in wake of, you know, the Ivan Provorov, the Rangers. Now the Islanders apparently aren't going to wear them. He said, you know, we're not, you know, I asked him, what would you do? First of all, he said that, you know, Pride, it goes beyond one night, right? Like our outreach to build our fan base and to reach these underserved fan base communities goes way beyond wearing jerseys on one night, which is a correct thing to say. And then he said, and I asked him, you know, what happens if one player's values don't align with the team's values? And he said, you know what, we're not going to waste energy focusing on that guy. We're going to focus on the ones that do participate. I think that's a good attitude to have. You know, the Flyers are loaded with players who are really important to the LGBT community, including like Scott Laughton, their captain. And all the focus was on Von Provorov. And that's disappointing because, you know, the Flyers do a lot of good things in this space and nobody paid any attention to that because Von Provorov, you know, has his views. You know, between that and, you know, the way Danny Wirtz and Jamie Faulkner addressed that question was a hell of a lot better than the way Gary Bettman addressed that question when I asked him in Florida on All-Star Weekend, where he basically said, we got to tolerate intolerance, which I don't believe in. Yeah. I don't think you do have to have said that. You're a private business and you can, you know, they work for you. You can tell them what fucking jersey to wear. I just, you know,
I think there has to be some sort of accountability, right? Like you can't pretend like this isn't happening or this person's allowed to do this and nothing can be said. And that,
and I didn't like how the Flyers.
I think that was the whole problem with Tortorella was that, you know, like instead of, yeah, I know you don't want to blast your own player, but to say that you're proud of him for standing up for his beliefs wasn't right
felt like
moment.
It felt like he was taking the bullet for the team there. You know, I shit on John Tortorella a lot for a lot of reasons, but by all accounts, he's kind of a good guy, and I think he means well in this particular space, but he
missed
falling
the mark
on his sword.
Yeah, like
he fell on his sword for the team and for his player and took a lot of flack for it, and it's just you shouldn't have to be put in that position because one guy's an asshole on your team.
Yeah, no,
and I'm sorry, you're an asshole if you do that.
Yeah,
if
no, for sure.
You can't seen in a rainbow. You're an asshole.
Yeah, I think that's all that a lot of people wanted was just that for other people to recognize that this was wrong and not to protect the player over, you know, protecting.
It's just cowardly because we've all said this, you know, you've seen this a million times, but anyone saying, what if a player chose not to wear the military themed jerseys on military night? You know, what if he was a pacifist? What if he was a Quaker? What if he, you know, was a conscientious objector? What if he just doesn't support war? You know, he'd get absolutely obliterated and blackballed and Colin Kaepernick right out of the league.
Yeah.
But, oh, the gay people, we don't care about them. We could ignore them. We could be rude to them.
No, for sure.
It's frustrating.
Yes. Yeah, I thought, you know, what they said around, you know, questions about, you know, just about the rebuild and how long it's, you know, like this could take a while. And, you know, and Danny Wirtz was sort of open. I'm like, you know, there's definitely shortcuts. And from a business perspective, like you certainly want this to go quicker than that. But, you know, he was like, we need to do it the right way to sustain this. And I think if that's a lesson to learn about anything on the ice from the Blackhawks in the last decade is that they try to take too many shortcuts. And this is the reason why they are where they are. There were many times where this could have, and there could have been a future with Kane and Taves playing in the next few years that would have made sense in a way to keep the window open. And
look at Boston, look at Los Angeles. These teams are doing it, right? Look at Pittsburgh.
I know the conversation around Michkov will be a lot more challenging than even that. But yeah, I think the Blackhawks need to do what's best for sustained success. And if you are going to not push Kane and Taves out the door, but certainly, you know, like you're opening door for them to leave. Like you, you better not take any shortcuts because it's, I think you're already, you're testing the fans and to come back and, you know, just the sign people or the draft players that are the shorter path to, just having any kind of sort of relevance again. So I'm curious to see how that continues because the Blackhawks haven't really felt, I think, the rebuild in a whole lot of ways. I know attendance is down, but I think attendance has been better than people expected. So I'm curious to see how that unravels too. And then also, you know, like they have to say it, but their support for Kyle Davidson and, you know, like
but Kyle Davidson has, you know, for a first year GM, essentially, he has, you know, basically carte blanche. Like they have put their full faith and credit into Kyle Davidson to do, you know, with two franchise pillars, two people that are frankly much more important to the fan base than Kyle Davidson. It's impressive that, you know, what they're there, you know, there's no pressure on Kyle here. He has full autonomy and authority. He doesn't have to run anything by them. He has the full faith of the team right now. And, you know, what he decides to do in the next month, in the next 6 months, is going to affect the franchise for like a decade to come. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, as much as he did last trade deadline in the draft, like this is Kanan Toews.
And so far, so good, right? He's getting the Jason Dickinsons and the Sam Lafferty's. Like, he's turning nothing into something repeatedly here.
Yeah. You need superstars now, right?
Yeah. You can't GM your way into a luck in the draft lottery.
And at some point he's gonna have to spend money, and you know, like he's done a good job, I think, with contracts, but it's these contracts don't add up. It's the ones that are $8-9 million. Who are you spending that money on? So I think certainly plenty to write about. You are going to Canada next week.
Yeah, I just feel like I just got back from Canada, but I'm going right back. I did Western Canada, now I'm doing Eastern Canada.
A couple home games, then I'll be on the West Coast trip before the deadline. So, hopefully there'll be plenty of trade talk, and we aren't just...
Yeah, we got some other stuff coming. We've got our player poll will be coming out soon.
Oh, yeah,
I've got a big story coming out next week that revolves around Luke Richardson and some others around the league. There's a lot in the fire right now, a lot of irons in the fire, beyond just us speculating about Kanan Toews, which we will continue to do. Yes.
So we will be back at this next week. For Mark Lazarus, I am Scott Powers, and this is Laz and Powers. And I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little.